Blog Talk Radio.
Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Shout glory. But we're here to magnify the Lord, to make him bigger, make him larger than anything that's going on. He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Let's put your hands together. Hallelujah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Come on, sing.
So once again, tuning in to the Crossroad broadcast, we want you to know that if you are looking for God to move in your life for more revelation, information as to what is going on in your life and some struggles. Everybody goes through struggles in their life. And this day, on the last 2 weeks, which this will be our second week, that we have been discussing physical illness with Dr. June Normeal. And we had an exciting topic plus discussion on last week, and we're looking forward to God moving and encouraging and inspiring others and giving you some kind of insight as to what is happening about physical illness. Everybody has been sick at one time or another. And we have learned so much as we have gone through this discussion on physical illness. There is more to come today, and we're just going to let Dr. Normeal, June Normeal, come and to bless us with the physical illness. Well, we're getting ready, first of all, to go before the throne of grace, and we're going to invite you to come on and go with us. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. We thank you, dear God, for all that you have done and all, God, that you're going to do according to your word. We thank you, dear God, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And that word that we hid in our heart, that we would not sin against thee. Lord, bless each and every one of those that are listening, potential listeners, Lord, those that are going through struggles in their life, those that are sick and don't understand why they're sick and why they're having this struggle and why even their family members are going through certain things in their lives and in their body. And Father, we ask thee, Lord, even now, even as Dr. June Normeal began to speak on today, we pray that God, through your divine anointing, your healing power, God, that you, God, would touch every listener. And God, those that are standing with hope and standing, God, believing for you to move on their behalf. Father, we just ask you, God, to do it even now. Lord, we just thank you for whatever need there is out there today, whatever hope that the people have, realizing, God, that you are that hope of glory. And, God, we just thank you, God, for another chance to be able to exalt you and to be able to lift up your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Yes, you are listening to the Crossroads broadcast. I'm Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. Soon we're going to have Dr. June Normeal coming to the forefront and talking about, again, physical illness. I want to tell you just a little bit about our broadcast and the panelists on the broadcast. We are professional Christian counselors who specialize in premarital counseling, marriage counseling, family issues, anger and rage, abuse and neglect. We talk about other different topics that we feel that is so vital in this day and time that will help our listeners and to help others as they tune into this broadcast. We are the Crossroads broadcast, and we want you to continue to tune in every Monday at 5 o'clock p.m. We do have a guest number, call-in number. If you choose to call and make comments, you know, you don't have to ask a question, but you can just make a comment or you can ask a question, and we'll be more than happy to answer the question, and or we'll be able to be more than happy to listen to your comments. Our guest call-in number is 805-243-1363. Again, the guest call-in number is 805-243-1363. At this time, we're getting ready to go to the panelist, our speaker for this hour, will be none other than Dr. June Normio, who will speak to us again about the topic, physical illness. Dr. June Normio.
Thank you, Dr. McCoy. Good evening, Radio Land. I thank God for allowing me to come before you again this week talking about physical illness. And last week, the topic that I spoke about was the Bible and physical illness, the causes of sickness and related problems. And today I'm going to speak on the topic of the effects of physical illness, prevention and physical illness, and a conclusion about physical illness. And topic, as I start off today, would be the effects of physical illness. And how does physical illness affect the body? How does it affect our mind, our soul, and our spirit? But it's easy to focus on the negative effects of an illness. We talked about that all last week, but fail to see the more positive benefit. And I know it may be surprising to wonder and to may think, how is it something positive to come out of a physical illness? Well, one study of 345 male heart attack victims shows that when men grumble about their illness and blame others, much more greater likelihood to have another heart attack. Things were much different in men who would see the benefit of the heart attack. These people often changed their life values and religious views. They worked to improve interpersonal relationship, made effort to reduce stress, and took better care of their bodies. And as a result, there was fewer men that had heart attacks in that area. But the effect of illness, therefore, need not always be negative. That means, because even through a bad situation, even through an illness, people can learn from that. And it could cause people to find out that what caused that illness might be poor eating habits or stress or not taking care of the physical body in the way we should. It caused them to just revamp their whole lifestyle. And that could be a positive thing about a physical illness, that it would cause us, it'll push us to get to that place to take care of our temple, our bodies in a more positive way. And that can cause less physical illness. But even though that's the positive side of it, but it's still on the outcome coming to be more negative than the positive. So I have some examples to tell you some of the effects that will happen during a physical illness. But one, it causes defense and denial. Because of a sickness or an illness, no one wants to embrace a sickness or an illness. No one wants to welcome that. So we have the tendency to deny how serious it is and sometimes deny that it even is occurring. And if the illness is serious or likely to be terminal, such as cancer or AIDS or something that is long-term, something that is chronic and always be there, at least for a while, then the person, the patient, may have an attitude and say, like, oh, it can't be me. I'm sure the doctor, they made the wrong diagnosis of me, or surely God can heal me. But when you think like that, it's very common. And people does go through those stages when they think like that. It's used automatically, sometimes without even thinking about it. But the purpose is to protect us from anxiety and a number of other defense mechanisms, which has been identified in many ways we can see sick people and their family. For example, a lot of times people make the excuse that they probably misinterpret the test. And when they find out about a certain illness, and it's hard sometimes for them to even grasp it or to accept, then they'll say, oh, they got the wrong test, or they must be got my test mixed up with somebody else, or my problem is with the doctor who's trying to make my life miserable. A lot of times people just put the blame on someone else. They be in denial. They have that defense mechanism. They don't want to accept that diagnosis or that sickness that is in their body. And it's common for people to do that. But when a defense or denial persists, you know, you keep continuing to do that, the patient and the family member, you know, is being unrealistic about that. And then when you don't really just come to reality of what's really happening, it could cause the condition or that problem to be even more in a worse condition, because you're not going to allow yourself to be treated for that situation or anything. You're just going to hold on and just be in that state of denial. And that's one of the effects that we have with a person when they don't receive the report that they have an illness. And another thing, effect that it caused people to withdraw from other people. Because when people are sick, we need to let other people help us and love us. But a lot of times, that's not easy for some people, especially for an individual always being a very independent person and a person, some people is being very private and they have, and sometimes it won't always be pride. A lot of times it could be pride can be added on with that list. They don't like the people see them in a vulnerable state, especially when they've been well and they people see them in a position as always being like in control of everything. And as a result, what they do, they withdraw from people. And sometimes in an attitude of self-pity, and sometimes they just end up just being lonely because of that situation. And then some people just resistant and just being angry. And some people, they just fight, and they fight the disease, and they direct the anger because of the illness. Their whole personality changed. And sometimes they just be angry at the nurse. They get angry at the doctors. Even people who's there to help them, they find that the anger is coming out and lashing out to people who's in their presence. Because, like I say, even with the withdrawal part, they don't want people to see them in that situation. And they just criticize and they just complain and feel like other people's there to hurt them. And they feel like people don't understand. And they feel like people will judge them when they see them in that situation. They call them to just live with a state of being angry all the time. And also another effect that physical illness can lead to a person is manipulation. Some people go through life attempting to control and manipulate others by a little sneaky or either more bladder taxes. What they'll do when they become ill, that they'll use that illness to control others to get attention or sympathy. Because a lot of times, some people, when they're in sick and when they're in the hospital, when they're bedridden, whatever, they like the attention than what they're getting from people. And they'll use that to get things from people because sometimes people will cater to people who feel like they're going through an illness or a sickness. A person will always be there for them to give them things. And a lot of times people will use that situation for their advantage to use people, either manipulate people feeling like if they don't get what they want, they'll say, oh, that individual doesn't love me. They don't care about me. Look at me, I'm in a situation, they're not doing this and that for me. So people use the effect of manipulation in a state of physical illness. And they have those malingerers and other people, the hypochondriac people, what they'll do, some people use that. They'll use that for a benefit. Like the other one, all the manipulation, they'll use the attention and sympathy for others. They'll use the opportunity to do nothing, to be responsible for themselves. What they'll do, they like that situation or just being sick, say, I just stay home. I don't have to get up. And they'll just love that situation. I just don't have to go to work. People, I don't have to cook. People will bring me things. People will buy me clothes. People could come sit up for me. I have visitors all day. Some people, in the contrary, or don't like people seeing them like that. Some people love it. They love that attention, what they do. And they'll just continue to over and over, and they'll fabricate, and they'll over-exaggerate the situation what they're really in. Sometimes they might not even have an illness, but they will fabricate, they will manipulate people. They will lie and over-exaggerate and say that just to play a role, just to get what they want out of people. And a lot of people grasp on that. And another one is hope. Sometimes illness has the effect on, you know, stimulating hope, you know, in people and their families. And it's true because it has been reported that whenever a patient stops expecting hope, death soon follows. So you must always have in mind, even the family members, friends, even that individual who's going through the illness, always know that there is hope. If you have that hope, it's time and it's a way, it's a cure for you to be relieved from that. And like I said, when a person give up hope, the next thing they could expect is death because they have nothing to look forward to. They always look for the worst of the situation. But you just have to just continue to just strive and believe that God hopes the best for you, Jesus hopes the best for you, and you have to have the hope for yourself. And because even other Christians, other believers, because Jesus Christ in us, Christ in them, is the hope of glory. It gives you something to look forward to. And also, not only in the afar, the effects that physical illness can bring, it will also deal with the emotions, the effects of a person, their emotions, what they'll be going through. And a serious physical illness can affect, you know, every area of your life, in your relationships, work, your spiritual beliefs, and how we socialize with each other. And a serious illness can make us feel sad. Sometimes it can make the individual feel frightened, worried, or angry. But it could be because we feel out of control of our bodies and our situation, and we feel that there's nothing that we can do. And it's a situation and it's a position that a person feels real vulnerable, that is when they ill, they have no control over it. And they feel they can't, the doctors have all the authority in that situation, but we know that all the authority in that situation comes from God, but that God has given doctors and people in that field and area wisdom, not to understand, and the gift to be able to cause us to use different tactics and situations, antidotes and solutions to situation problems that could cause us to be well. But we feel get emotional, distraught, because we feel out of control in our situation and we can do nothing about it. And sometimes it causes us to feel lonely and isolated from family and friends. And sometimes it causes it to be difficult to talk about an illness with those who close to us, because we don't want them to worry and upset them. Because a lot of times when a person, an individual know when something's going wrong with their body, a lot of times nobody else could know, because a lot of times we could fake things, that hide things for others. But an individual knows something is wrong with their body. And a lot of times they will go through something and they will, that illness will be with them for so long before they take the time to go out to a doctor to get diagnosed with that, about that situation, or to get checked out, because simply because they don't want to worry nobody. And even if they know the situation and what's going on, sometimes they will hide the answer to that problem from their spouse, from their loved ones, from their friends, because they don't want people to worry about them. And then sometimes they just can't accept the fact, like I said earlier, about they're in the state of denial. They don't want to talk about it, and they don't want people to be upset and worry about them. And I can remember my father, he was diagnosed with cancer, and we didn't even know that he had cancer for a long time. And unfortunately, he ended up passing. He went through that situation, and he didn't suffer long, as we know of, but internally, he probably suffered for a long time. But as when it came out openly, when he couldn't go no further, we seen symptoms that he had to be hospitalized, that he had cancer, that it happened so suddenly when he passed away, but he hid it so long from us. We didn't know what he didn't tell my mother, which is his wife, about nothing. He didn't want to worry us about things like that. But it's okay to tell someone about that, because people care, people want to know. And the sooner you treat your body about something you know that's going wrong, the sooner you're able to get help and be able to defeat that situation or that sickness, illness within your body. And another thing, it makes you feel anxious or depressed. It gives you anxiety and depression. Both of them affect your mind and your body. And often the two happen at the same time. And anxiety, when you have anxiety, it makes you feel like you constantly worrying, have thoughts and stuff about the illness and the treatment, and you have the fear of the worst. For example, you may think like, oh, I might die, or we might die, or it's going to get worse than what it is. And anxiety is another sign, a symptom of it, is being unable to relax, you know, always being fidgety, always, you know, can't sit still. And even if you sit still physically, your mind is steady, racing, you know, worrying about situations. Even if you're supposed to be asleep, you're lying down, but your brain is still worrying about the situation. That's a sign of anxiety. And you're not being able to relax. And a lot of time also when you're breathing too fast, and it could cause like indigestion, it also could cause diarrhea. These are just certain effects of some of the different things that physical illness can affect you. And then that's in the sign of being with anxiety, but it also could affect you in the area of being depressed. And when you're depressed, you have feelings like it'll be unhappiness that don't go away. You could be unhappy, and then sometimes situations might cause the individual not to be happy. But I'm talking about long-term chronic unhappiness that it just don't go away. You're always unhappy, and you just unhappy about the things that happen in your life. It could be exciting, but because of that illness, you can't even celebrate yourself or celebrate the situation because what's going on. And another one is feeling utterly tired. That's another thing to show it causes physical illness, causes you to be depressed when you're feeling utterly tired, just overtired all the time. And another one could be losing interest in sex. All of these things, physical illness, the effects affect the whole body. And also avoiding other people. When a person sometimes go through the cycle or the situation of being physically ill, they avoid people. They don't feel to see them in that state because they don't act the same. They don't look the same. They don't respond the same. They want to avoid the situation. People, then they don't have to ask questions, so they'll find themselves avoiding people. And they lose self-confidence, and they start feeling useless and inadequate and hopeless. And another thing, what they do, they start thinking also about suicide. They start thinking about suicide. That's one of the main things what will happen when a person gets depressed and the physical illness, they get real suicidal. They think that illness, what they're going through, is the end, and they feel like they can't live with that situation, with that illness. So what they do, they come on, the spirit of suicide to come on to them, and they think the answer is taking their life. They don't have to suffer no more. But that's not, suicide would never be the answer. For any situation, no matter what sickness or illness or predicament you are in, they're always the answer because they always got caregivers. They all got people care for you, and they always got hope. And God will always have people around you and things, and they have so many answers, so much things to do in technology and medical areas that will help you, either if the disease or the sickness will not leave. But it's things that can be given, things that can be done to cause you to be able to live with that situation and still be helpful, to still be able to function with your life and still be able to be beneficial, to still be able to know that you are still needed and you are still loved even in that situation. So I talked about that, about the areas of the effects of physical illness, how it will affect our body, and it will go all over, you know, either mentally, physically, emotionally, throughout the whole man. And now we're going to talk about what we do to prevent the physical illness. And one thing we could do, we can encourage people, and we could ponder and to discuss their attitudes towards sickness and death. A lot of times people don't want to talk about sickness, and a lot of times people don't want to talk about death. But we need to talk about sickness, and we need to talk about death because there's nothing to be ashamed of. And sickness is a part of life. Not saying we want to accept it, but things happen. Everybody will feel some type of sickness, some type of illness. And even if the individual does not, if they know someone in their family, someone that they care about, even a friend or something that does suffer from that. So we need to talk about sickness, about, since healthy people, you know, when you healthy, you avoid thinking or talking about those issues. But the reality is that sickness and death, you know, it hit with greater impact when we are forced to face them. So when we talk about it, it's like laying the foundation that when things occur, we could have a better thing to stand on. We could talk about, you know, what we're going to do next from that. But when we avoid talking about that, it's just like a person that's alive and they never prepare for the death. They don't have insurance policy for the death of a person because they say, we're not going to talk about death. We avoid that. But when death hits, it suddenly hits, you don't have any insurance money, you don't have anything. It makes things difficult. And that you have to face, you'd be forced to face dealing with that. So we have to talk about that. And even though we talk about that, it don't make that the trauma would be less than if we would talk about it. But it caused us to maintain contact with people who are sick and suffering because they need our help, and they didn't know that we care about them. So we need to talk about things like that. We need to give them hope. And I thank God for even the ministries and the people that take time to go out and visit people inside nursing homes and hospitals that doesn't have people to visit them and give them hope and everything. And they even feel like they're just looking at the situation itself. It just caused them to have no hope. I can remember even this past weekend, we went out to a nursing home and visited this young man, and he had a stroke, 21-year-old had a stroke, and he was so down. And the first thing that I asked him, has he given life to the Lord? He said that his mother had been talking to him about going to church and giving life to the Lord. He said, but he didn't. So I had the opportunity, God bless God for allowing me to lead him to the sinner's prayer, and that young man was so happy just just what gave him the happiness was receiving Jesus Christ in his heart. That made all the difference. And then after that, he had a smile on his face and gave him that hope that he knew that he could live through this. He could beat that situation, that the stroke that he had, that he was having. He was like a new person, because we took the time. Somebody take the time. Not saying we the only one did that when we went out to minister, but I'm just saying when we take time to, you know, minister to people, it helps them. It helps them to be able to go through a situation, you know, with hope. It helps them to go through the situation with hope, knowing that they can make it through that. So we need to talk to people about situation, about their sickness and illness, and don't avoid it, because we will have to encounter that one way or another. And another thing would be that it prepares us for the future. And to keep open lines of communication before the crisis arrives, because no one knows when sickness or accident is going to happen to any one of us. We never know. But when we talk about things, the natural things about life and death, it always keeps the communication line open. And when things arise, we'll be able to address it more. And number two, what it does, it helps people to see meaning in sickness and suffering. And I bet you say, how is sickness and suffering is meaningful? But it is. Because often we see sickness as harmful, and we see sickness being bad because we see what it does to our natural body. We see how it makes people feel, but this is not necessarily so. Physical illness can also bring us face-to-face with our own limitations. It gives us a clear perspective on life and eternity, and it teaches us more fully about the love and forgiveness of God. And it does, because illness is often what people need to slow them down so they can get better. If not physically, they could do it emotionally and spiritually. That seems like a hard pill to swallow, but it's not, because a lot of times when we go on not saying that God wants us to be sick, God wants us to be good, because he don't. He wished above all things we were prosper and being healthy, even in our soul prosper. But a lot of things we bring on our own self, if we don't take care of our bodies, we don't rest right, we don't eat right. But when we are healthy and we are doing things on our own, what we want to do, with no kind of interruptions of our body or it's being sick, we still talking about sickness, we feel sometimes that we just are invincible. You know, it feels like we could do anything. We don't know how to say no. We don't know how to rest. We don't know how to eat right, because we just go on and on. But sometimes when a sickness occurs, it will cause us to be in a situation to know, oh, I'm just doing a little too much. I'm just putting a little too much strain. Oh, maybe I need to eat better. Oh, I need to drink more water. Oh, I need to get more rest. But when we just go on and on and on, eventually the body will tear down. We're not made out of steel, but it calls us to see ourselves and see the limitation within ourselves. And a lot of times also, it always has the door open to let us know that God is a healer. God loves us. God cares for us. Because a lot of times, most of the times too, for some individual people, not everybody, but when they finally get the situation, when they're in a situation of being ill or sick, they will call on God. And when they call on God, he always be there to hear from them, always be there to talk with them, to answer them, to get them that, you know, that sense of security that he care about them. And then he's that kind of God, you know. It's not that, and we must know that God don't bring sickness on them. A lot of things occur that we bring it on ourselves, but God is always there. And sometimes because of a situation, it causes a person to get in a relationship and to see God in a better way. And sometimes it causes us to slow them down. It causs us to slow down. And sometimes we run this body around so much, we don't take time to slow it down. It will slow us down right there where we are. It would be just like a car just driving. You didn't put enough gas in and you just keep riding around. It'll stop. You don't know where you could be on the middle of an expressway, and it will start right there. It ain't got no kind of thing. I'm talking about cars, the mind and the motor of a car. It ain't concerned about, and they don't have that kind of mind to be concerned, but I'm just saying that, just using as a metaphor, it ain't concerned about all the cars around you on the expressway. It will shut off right then and have you in that embarrassing moment, in that situation that you can't do nothing at that time, your car don't broke down. I mean, stop, because you didn't put gas, you didn't take care of. They would do it our natural body. We don't take care of. We would just keep going, going, and going, and not giving it things that it need, that have to be properly rested and stuff. It would shut down. It caused us to collapse sometimes, a person could get sick and all kind of different other illness happen because it does that. And so and the best part about a situation when the party draws to God, and sometimes even in situations when people become ill and Christ kind of like what they do, they call on God, and sometimes they make God their Lord and Savior. They get their life to Christ. And if that's what it takes for some people, that's a good thing, because we all, and our goal is to make Jesus Christ our God, our Lord and Savior. And something, it takes that. And another thing what we need to do is give people information. We have to give people information about what's going on. And people have to educate themselves. They have a lot of things going on in societies. You go on the computer, you go on the internet, and you could key in any kind of field, and you could talk to Google, whoever, YouTube, anybody, the websites. The way you talk to a human, any question you want to ask, you could just key it in, and they would give you information about anything you want to know about. If you're talking about illness, physical illness, you key in that, they will tell you everything about any different kind of sickness. So a lot of times it's up to us as individuals to educate ourselves about different things, what's going on about our body and everything, and information about things, how you can prevent about certain illness. And if you have an illness and you're not sure and you not know everything about it, get educated about it. And even your doctor, where you go at, and even they got different societies and programs and things in the medical field, information, brochures, information to tell you about any kind of illness that you want. And I know that your doctor and your counselors, they can direct you in what place you need to go to get that kind of assistance to let you know about what you do. But many years ago, researchers discovered that surgical patients recover faster and experience less pain when they are told before treatment what to expect during and surgery. When the patient and family know what is coming, the discomfort and anxiety can be handled much more effectively. That is so true. Before a person go in any kind of situation, before a person get surgery or for a person get any kind of treatment or counseling, I call it the foundation about the situation, about that illness, is so vital and important, because it'll tell you, it is your mind at ease. It will cause you to have less anxiety, less worries about that. If you talk about what to expect before that thing happens, it'll make you be more at ease in time when you have to go through certain situations or surgery or any kind of treatment about that condition. When you already have found out things about the illness or some kind of sickness you are going through, when you already looked it up, you got educated about that thing, when certain things happen in your body, it won't kind of send you in no frenzy, you want to freak out. I know it's not comfortable and you don't want to embrace it, but if you may have something going on in your body that you wouldn't expect, and you don't know what kind of symptoms are going to happen in your body for certain illness. But when you knew what to expect, just say, I'm using a simple one, for example, like the flu. If you are read about, they say you could be very weak, you could feel dizzy, dehydrated. When those things occur in your body, when you experience those things, you won't have to freak out and panic about that, because you already been educated. You already know some of the symptoms. You say, oh, this was some of the things I go through when I'm going through this situation of having the flu. Same thing, but it could be a more serious condition. It could be a more terminal disease or physical thing. We get information about it, and before surgery, even the different symptoms you could expect in your body while you're going through that crisis, it will help you be able to handle it more effectively and stuff. You know what to expect. And another one, strengthen people's Christian commitment. That is so important. We learn to walk with God through prayer, meditation, Bible study, and worship. The scripture never told us, and they don't teach us, that believers are exempt from illness or that we should bear problems alone. And a lot of times you hear people say that because we are Christian, we have supposed to have faith, that we don't supposed to be sick. The Bible doesn't say that, and that's not true. But when we are in the habit of bearing one another's burden and casting our burdens on God in prayer, then we are better prepared for facing illness and death when they come. The physical and psychological pain will be present still, but underneath is the assurance that God is in control. And that is so true. When we know that we are in anything, any kind of illness or sickness, when we know that God is there with us, we know that God will send people, and the God that's inside others, God inside other people, is give us that hope, give us that glory. When you see someone come to you and do something kind for you, say something kind to you, then your weakest hour, your illness, whether it be minute or whether it be terminal, know that that is God in action, working through an individual, because God cares about you and your situation. But when we know that, it strengthens us. That's why it's good to get in a good Bible teaching, preaching, church or ministry, and connect yourself with mature, seasoned Bible people, saved people who are going to be encouragement to you, and get around people that talk negative. And people that ain't talking that Bible, what the Bible say about, and talking faith and talking encouraging things, always don't even allow them to be around you, because that can hinder your faith, and it always is called a person illness to keep staying that stagnant position if they receive that with the hearing, because faith come by hearing, but it come by hearing the word of God. So we want to always be open and subject to hearing positive things by people. And the conclusion about physical illness is that demonstrated through the life of Jesus Christ, because Jesus demonstrated this concern for the whole person when he ministered to spiritual needs. But he also had a deep and practical concern about individuals suffering the social conditions and mental struggles and their physical illness. He was concerned about the whole man of a person, not just one thing, because he come to save the whole part of the body of a person. And you can't just separate that, because we who are his followers, talking about the Christians, we must have that same similar compassion, concern for the whole person. Jesus did the worst thing when he came to earth to do. And he came for the lost, to save souls. And not only that, he came with the compassion and love for people who were hurting people, the sick people. You read all through the gospel. You read all about Jesus Christ. That's what his whole ministry is about, helping hurting people and loving hurting people. And we must do that same thing by the example of what Jesus taught and what he demonstrated while he was on earth. But try to separate the physical and the psychological and the social and the spiritual part of a person from each other is unbiblical, because God deals with the whole person. Everything works together. The mind, body, soul, spirit, our emotion, all that work together. But the Bible never did promise that we wouldn't have sickness, but Jesus did promise in his word that he would never leave you nor forsake you, and he would be with us through everything. God just didn't give his son, Jesus, just for salvation. He gave us for the whole package. Anything concerning us, he wanted us to have the abundant life while we're on earth, while we're still alive, because Jesus said he wished above all things. The word of God was said that he wished above all things, that means even your health, that we would prosper. And not just talk about just the money thing, but that's adding to it, that we will prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers. So God is concerned about our whole man, the mind, body, soul, and spirit. And God bless you, and I pray that something that has been said these past 2 weeks about physical illness help you and encourage you. And I recommend that you go to your pastor, your spiritual leader, go to your doctor, counseling, go on their website, and get information about physical illness and treatment center, what to do about it. God bless you, and back to you, Dr. McCoy.
We would like to thank Dr. Jim Normia for sharing with us on today about physical illness. And as we begin our broadcast, to let you know that everyone has gone through some type of illness, with whether or not it was just a headache. And sometimes we can just so simply say it's a headache, but there are some kinds of headaches and things that we have that need attention. And so, therefore, I pray, God, that all of the words that have been spoken and put out today, it is for you. It is for you to know that you don't have to suffer alone, you don't have to go through anything alone, and that, as Dr. Normia said, that there is information that is available to you so that you can know what's going on and you don't know what to expect, and most of all, that you can know what to pray for and to know that Jesus Christ paid the price 2,000 years ago for your healing and for your deliverance. So as we read in the Bible, it's nothing that have to be afraid of, but we just need to put our faith and our confidence in God and to realize, even as Miriam and Nebuchadnezzar and David, son and David, there are people in the Bible, and Naaman had gone through a certain sickness and illness in their body, such as Lazarus. When we focus back on the focal point of the men and the women in the Bible, so it is in the people of today. And I like what Dr. Norman said, because of the fact that even when you are, I believe that the nurses and the doctors, God has given them greater insight, that they don't just begin to give you medication, don't tell you what they're giving you, are not even educating you to let you know what's happening to you. And I feel that it's very important. It can take away some of the anxiety away from the individual. And as Dr. Norman said, that many times you have books that can educate you. You have the internet that can educate you, as being you have programs such as the Crossroad Broadcast that God is using at this day and time to be able to give you and others, enlighten you, to let you know that there is a way of escape, that there is a better way. And a lot of times, one of the things I like to bring up, is, as Dr. Norman shared with us, about our father who had cancer, and he chose to go through it by himself, and he didn't share it with the children or his wife. Well, God will show you a different way. And as you get counsel, as you get to be more inspired, more educated about certain things, that you don't have to go through things alone. Sometimes people do that because of the fight that they don't want to hurt their family members, or they don't want them to get upset, and they don't want to struggle with what they're going through. But I just believe that sometimes that it helps families. Well, yes, they may get a little upset. Yes, they may be upset, but yet you are, the family is sharing what's going on. The family, they can pray as well. They can be there with that individual, those individuals that may be going through things in their life. And we must know that even though, and we thank God for our medical doctors and nurses, I thank God for what God has enabled them and given them. It is inspiring, it's great, and it's positive. But we also have to know that no matter what, that 2,000 years ago, Jesus paid that awesome price for you and for me, that we can have a right to the tree of life, and that we can be healed and we can be delivered. And I do know that sometimes that we go through things and we say, Lord, you know, I ask you to heal me, and I don't see the results of it, but you got to still have that confidence and faith in God. It doesn't change anything. It doesn't change him for being God, because the word tells us that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. One of the things that we want to be, not in his permissive will, but in his perfect will in our lives. And we don't want to have to struggle alone. We always put Jesus Christ in the forefront of whatever may be going, that you may be going through in your life, and allow him to help you. Allow him for you to be able to intercede before him and to pray before him, that he can lead you and guide you for whatever that you may be going through. I want you to know that this has been a joy and a pleasure to present physical healness, not because we want people to be sick. It's a fact that a lot of people, many people, they are sick, and they have struggles, whether they're mentally or physically sick. But we want you to know that God will take care of you, and that there is a better way, that you can go through anything in your life. We just want to enlighten you today, to give you a clarity and give you greater understanding, and to let you know that there is nothing that is too hard nothing that impossible with God. I would like to say, you know, sometimes things look really bad, as it looked when Miriam had leprosy, when she had turned white, and it seems like she had that disease that maybe she had to live with, but yet she didn't have to live with that, and God made a way for her. But there was, as you read in the Word of God, and that's why it's so important to read the Word of God to find out what's happening in the Word of God, and that sickness doesn't always come because of sin, because of something that you may have done. Sometimes it's done for the glory of God. Sometimes when we read the Word of God, we see that people that were born blind, it's not because they have sinned, not because their parents have sinned, but there was many people in the Word of God have read how God let us know through the disciples, through the Word of God, why this was done to them and what happened to them. So we don't want you to bring judgment on other people because they may have something in their body, but just know that God will get the glory if we allow him. God will get the glory, and God will get the honor no matter what you are going through or struggling with on today. And we just want to pray with you. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, for our speaker today. Thank you, God, for Dr. June Normeal, as she came so graciously and talked about physical healers, the cause and effect of physical healed illness. And Lord, we pray that even as Dr. Norman was speaking to our radio audience, God, that they were enlightened, God, that they received more knowledge, and God, that they too, God, will have a greater peace within, to let them know that no matter what they may be going through now, God, that you will be there with them, and God, that you are greater than any sickness, because you heal sickness and diseases, and God, that you're one that comfort, and God, that you're the one that gives joy. And Lord, we ask thee in the name of Jesus, God, that you continue, God, to bless them, God, that they'll be even more motivated, Father God, that don't want to give up. Lord God, even as Dr. Norma touched on today about some people and their sickness when they go through certain things, Lord, how they react to certain things. But Father, we thank you because you are the answer for today, tomorrow, and forever in the lives of your people. And Father, we just thank you, God, for all that you have done, all you're going to do, God, according to your word. And this we will bless and praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You have been listening to the Crossroad broadcast with Dr. Mary Smith McCoy and Dr. June Normeal. We want you to tune in on next week, which is our upcoming week, and we're going to have another exciting topic. Tell a friend, call a neighbor, call somebody that's maybe in Texas or in Chicago, Illinois, or wherever they may be, and tell them to tune in to the Crossroad broadcast. Don't forget that number. It is 805-243-1363. Again, may God bless you. May he keep you. May he give you great wisdom. May he give you knowledge. May he give you understanding. May God have enlightened you, and thank God for the enlightenment of what has been presented today in this discussion. And we just give you praise and glory. We give God praise and glory for all that he has done. Thank you again for tuning in to this broadcast.